Converts, OGs, hockey fans, what's going on? This is the Leafs Convo Podcast. I'm your host, Norman James. We are brand spanking new to start a fresh week. The Leafs, a 4-1 loser to the Rangers in New York. A 4-game win streak, done. Is the sky falling around the blue and white? No, but there are things to lament from the defeat and causes for concern going forward. Mike Augello is standing by. He wants to dive deeper into how the Leafs performed at MSG. Plus, we'll talk about some potential acquisitions the Buds need to make. Mike's ready. You're ready. I'm ready. So what do you say? Let's go. The Leafs Combo starts now. The Leafs Combo is brought to you by Vanguard Northeast Realty. With over 15 years' experience, Vanguard provides superior level of service for commercial real estate tenants and owners. For more information, visit vanguardne.ca. And we've linked up with the man himself, the one and only MIB. Michael, how are you?
Good morning, Norman. I'm well. Little perturbed after the game last night at MSG, but All well. How are you?
Not too bad. What are you going to do? The Maple Leafs were up against the Bulgarian Patrick Waugh, Alexander Gorgiev. 55 turnbacks in a 4-1 Rangers win over the Leafs at Madison Square Garden. Wow.
I mean, it's funny because I was talking to one of my fellow reporters, Russ Cohen, who I do Buzzcast and a couple other podcasts with, and he's a Ranger follower and fan. And, you know, he agreed that it could have been one of the more unimpressive 55 save performances. He really didn't make a ton of great saves. I mean, you got to give a goaltender credit when he makes that many saves. I mean, and I think he was solid. And, you know, the Leafs, I think, had 21 or 22 shots in the first period and over 20 shots on the power play. But there weren't a ton of sort of gilt-edged chances. And again, and I continue to harp on this, and I know that people are like, you know, push back on it, but how many times have we seen this year this team come out of the locker room for the first period completely and utterly comatose? In Montreal, they gave up a goal. I think it was a minute and or 51 seconds into the first, the Andrew Shaw goal. And then last night, I think it was 28 seconds when Zibanejad scored. Mm-hmm. They come out of the locker room completely asleep.
Yeah.
And may not hurt them now because you know it's regular season, but in the playoffs when goals sure. are at a premium, oh. you cannot come out and do that every single game, and they do that.
This is the Leafs Convo for Vanguard Northeast Realty. Michael, how do you ramp your team up? How do you fire them up and get them to come out with reckless abandon to start a game? Is it a psychological thing? Is it a physical thing? I don't see any reason why these guys would take the ice believing as a group they don't need to fire on all cylinders until midway through the first period. What is it?
I don't know if it's sort of a symptom of being comfortable in your abilities to score goals, you know, at any time of the game. And you can just say, oh, we're going to come out and do what we do. And if we give up a goal early, that's all fine and good. We have the confidence to be able to score, you know, get a goal back. Mm-hmm. Four goals later in the game. But, you know, like I said, when it comes to the postseason, an opening goal is a big momentum change, and you really can't allow that to happen. So maybe in the playoffs they'll tighten up and not play that way, but it's just a bit of concern that they, you know, especially in these two games on the weekend against Montreal at Centre Bell and at MSG, that a minute into the game you open your eyes and you're down 1-0, and they were able to bounce back from it both times, Kapanen getting the goal last night and then the two goals from Janssen and Zaitsev on Saturday. But you just can't make that a habit, and they have to do something to change that up.
Those goals, some of the goals that were scored in Montreal for both sides were seeing eye goals that you really can't count on. The hardworking types of goals are the ones that you're going to want to bank on and try to produce, especially in the playoffs, because, you know, everything else is luck of the draw, and who knows how things play out. Is this team, Mike, capable? Have we seen this team in a play to its full potential yet? And if we haven't, when is this team going to flip the switch, come together, and begin to create a game plan and start executing it that will bode well for them in the playoffs?
They have moments. They're not, I have not seen them play a 60-minute game all year. Now, it's a commentary on how talented they are, that they can flip a switch and score, you know, 3 goals in 3 minutes and completely dominate, and then sort of take a vacation and sit back and let the other team attack. But, you know, it's frustrating because you can't expect a team to play a 60-minute game 82 games a year and then through 16 wins in the playoffs. It's just not realistic. It's not feasible. But you want this team to have longer stretches of effectiveness. And, you know, I think throughout most of their games, there are lulls when they're defensively inept, when, you know, their power play, you know, with all the talent in the world that they have, just is ineffective. And that is a potential recipe for disaster if they don't, you know, improve on being more consistent and having longer stretches of effectiveness throughout games.
Are we pinning this loss on the ineptitude of the start, just the malaise of the team, the fact that Bulgaria's Patrick Waugh, Alexander Georgiev was on fire? Or are we looking at number 40 and saying, come on, man, you got to make some stops?
Well, it's not all on him. I have to say that the if I had to pick one thing to blame for the loss, it would be the power play and the fact that in spite of getting over 20 shots, I think they had 4 opportunities. It wasn't effective. And I mean, I know they're trying to change things up a little bit, but it hasn't changed since I think late November when teams got wise at the fact that the main weapon of this power play was this cross ice pass between Matthews and Marner or Marner and Matthews to open up a lane to score. And teams have tried to combat that by bringing the penalty killing box lower down, closer to the goaltender, shrinking it to make that cross ice pass tougher, to make Matthews and Marner make decisions quicker. And for all the greatness of Morgan Rielly in the year that he's having, he doesn't have a big shot from the point, so they really don't respect that. Yep. So they're crunching down 4-on-4 against the Leaf forwards and saying, okay, Morgan, you know, go ahead and try to score from there. And it hasn't been effective for almost over two months, and they really have to get that power play on track. If they don't, then I think either they have to change maybe move Matthews to the second power play and bring somebody else who can be in front of the net, or change the construction of it, but it's not effective. But as for Sparks, I can't blame him on the Jimmy Vesey goal. It was a perfect shot that hit top corner, but I'm sorry, an NHL goaltender has to stop the Adam McQuaid goal. He has to. And that's the thing. He had a good game the last game he played. This game, I think he was subpar. You need consistency, especially from your backup goaltender, especially when he's going to play at most 20 to 25 games. And he hasn't shown that consistency. And I don't think that Garrett Sparks is your future number one goaltender.
I think he's an average at best
backup, and I honestly believe that Michael Hutchinson would be a more dependable backup than Garrett Sparks.
Well, that's a discussion we can have at another point if we can squeeze it in, because so much is going on with this team literally on a day-to-day basis. Garrett Sparks is not the number one goaltender for this team ever. Freddie Anderson, like, he's a number one goaltender, but he can only do so much. You know, it's not the 30 saves that you make along the way. It's the one or two saves that you need to make that really count. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, those are the ones that essentially cost the game, cost the team points, and cost credibility with the decision makers, most importantly, the head coach. And that's not just about Garrett Sparks. That's the standard, and those are the rules that are applied to just about any goaltender who feels he's worth his weight and wants to make an impression to move up the ranks and get more playing time and become a more important part of an organization. So, you know, Garrett Sparks has to keep that kind of stuff in mind. I don't tweet that much anymore, Mike. You know what bothers me, and I'm going to get this off my chest. The way Leaf fans, like, we get roasted for being realists. That's what we are. We're realists. I go on social media, and Ron Hainsey makes a bad play. He's garbage. Nikita Zaitsev has to be shipped back to Russia. Garrett Sparks is terrible. He's awful. Mike Babcock is dumb. What kind of fan are you when you're calling players of your own team these terrible names. For all of the criticism we've laid on William Nylander or Jake Gardner, we've never disparaged them. We've never denigrated them. We love them. We think they're great players and great kids. Sometimes we don't believe they're the right fit. I know you're a fan and I know you want the team to win, but insulting your own players because they don't execute the play properly, give me a break. Now, let me get on to Mike Babcock. People are on this guy, and you know, I see the, well, bring Sheldon Keefe up. That's right. Fire Mike Babcock and pay him $7 million a year for the next three or four. Mike Babcock, does he have any culpability here in this team not seemingly able to reach that level we all believe it can?
I think there's been a level of criticism that's been rising over the last year or so in regards to Babcock and his sort of favoritism. He has favorites. He has players in the past like Matt Hunwick, like Leo Komarov, like Roman Polak, who, you know, he will play no matter what. You know, other people think of their performance, and then the critics are out there. And I have to say, you know, like, I mean, I'm critical of players who don't play well because that's my job. I mean, I have to call it as I see it. I look at some of the plays that Martin Marincin makes and believe that he should never play an NHL game again because he's terrible.
there you go. I belong on social media with the rest of them.
But you know, the criticism of Babcock is that, you know, there are players, and I know, like, on the weekend, you know, Josh Levo scored a goal for Vancouver, and the criticisms came out. It's like, why couldn't Josh Levo play? Could have played for the Leafs, and the thing is, I in one sense, I do agree with it in the sense that, okay, if you look at when they signed Nylander, Levo was a fourth line winger. They made a promise to him that if he was going to be a healthy scratch, they would trade him so he could further his NHL career. You would have had to sit Freddie Gauthier or sit Par Lindholm. Okay, why not? I think Josh Levo is a more effective player.
For sure.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like Babcock has players that he believes in. He has players that he, I think, favors. He likes guys with experience. That's why he likes Hainsey. That's why he likes Patrick Marleau. Are they, you know, is Hainsey a very limited player now? Yes, he didn't belong on the first pairing, but I don't have a problem with him now being on the bottom pairing with Travis Dermott. I think it'll actually help Dermott. But I think that's the main problem and the main critique of Babcock is that, you know, some people perceive that he is he plays favorites with the guys that he trusts. And sometimes that trust is not based on ability. It's based on, you know, just his set of beliefs. And if they lose in the first round, I'm telling you right now, you will hear some things over the summer about Babcock is in trouble, you know, that the message is not getting through. He's got 4 years left in his contract. He's not going anywhere, folks.
Yeah, he shouldn't go anywhere. And I believe he's going to be the head coach to lead this team to its first Stanley Cup victory since 1967. And much of the cast of characters who will take the ice in Colorado tomorrow evening will be the crew to get it done. Michael, before we go, any rumblings on potential trades, potential transactions? The 25th is coming quick.
Well, it's interesting because I know that Elliot Friedman on Saturday night during the Saturday Night Headlines referenced the Leafs having interest in Michael Ferland, which if you look at the fact that, you know, they really don't have any kind of size and snarl up front, and he's a top nine guy. But, you know, like, for example, when Nylander gets hit by Jordy Benn in Montreal on Saturday, Nazem Kadri is the one that has to come to his defense. I mean, they really have nobody other than, say, Jake Muzzin, who will throw a big check. And there is not a lot of pushback. And if they face Boston in the first round, that's going to be a real problem. You need somebody that'll do something, and it's preferably somebody who has some other abilities other than just that. But Ferland is an unrestricted free agent. He's a power forward. He's having a decent year with Carolina. Doesn't sound like Carolina is willing to pay him what he's going to be looking for on the free agent market. The price tag reportedly was a first round pick. That's come down because there's not as much interest at that price tag as in, say, Wayne Simmonds or some of the other forwards that are out there. But the question is if Carolina is going to trade him because they're in the playoff race right now, and he might be one of those own rental guys that they decide to keep. But I think the Leafs are making sure that they have their I's dotted and their T's crossed when it comes to him if he becomes available. So that's one thing. The other thing is The rumor from Frank Cervelli from TSN came out regarding the Leafs' interest in Luke Glendening. I think we talked about that on the
Yep, we
last
did.
convo. But it was interesting that a Leafs director of pro personnel, I think it's Troy Bodhi, was in Boston on Saturday. Now, they don't play the Bruins anymore this season, but they're playing the LA Kings. And if you put a little connection there between them looking for a fourth line veteran type of forward, a center, and a guy like Nate Thompson, whose name has come up. Now, Nate Thompson is not going to be a big scorer for he's only got 5 points. And I had somebody push back on what I reported and said, well, you know, Freddie Gauthier has got 11 points. Like, that's not,
you're doing
not
my
the point.
Voices now, Mike. You're doing my voices. I'm rubbing off on you, man.
Yeah, there you go. That's not that is not the point. We've got a guy who has less than a year of NHL experience going into the playoffs, and I think Babcock wants an experienced center who can win faceoffs on the fourth line, who can provide a little bit of pushback. Thompson fits that. He played a lot. Played a lot of playoff games with Anaheim. I mean, and I don't think it would cost anything more than a mid-round pick. So, I mean, that's. You know, I think that there's going to be deals for a depth defenseman, maybe a depth forward. It's the longer shot of them going out and getting another top four defenseman that would cause an exodus of a Gardner or a Zaitsev. So I think the odds are long on that, but I think there will be a tinkering move or two before the 25th. So we'll just keep our eyes on
Tyler Ennis activated, Mike. I'd love to see Tyler Ennis, Trevor Moore, fourth line, just adding points, a lot of spunk. These guys are really talented, probably could play second or third line minutes on teams of lower stature. So what's happening there?
I think Ennis will get in there. They had won 4 games in a row. That's why I think in the second of back-to-back games, they stayed with the same lineup because they had been winning. And now I think they've lost a game. You know, maybe you'll see Ennis go in for, I would think it would probably be for Par Lindholm, but maybe they move Lindholm to the middle and give Gauthier a game off. But I do think that they'll get Ennis back in the lineup because when he was in the lineup, especially just before the injury, he was contributing secondary offense on the fourth line, and he provides a lot of energy. He's not a big guy, but he doesn't shy away from contact. And I agree with you. I mean, a fourth line with Janssen or Connor Brown and Ennis with either Lindholm or maybe, either a Glendening if they get that trade done or a Thompson. I think that's a much more complete fourth line and a much more usable.
Trevor Moore, no?
I think they're going to keep Trevor Moore down unless there's injuries. I think they're going to keep Trevor Moore with the Marlies. But, I think next year Trevor Moore is part of this team. But I think they're going to probably go with the experience. If you have Connor Brown, who's got a few years under his belt, Tyler Ennis, who's got more than a few years under his belt, and then you bring in a veteran center, then that's a fourth line that's not going to make too many mistakes. And I think that's what Babcock is looking for.
And that's a fourth line that shouldn't even be a part of a fourth line. Those guys should be playing up in most lineups. Okay, Mike, so the Leafs 1-1 on their 6-game roadie, Colorado, VGK, Erie, and STL coming up. I'm hoping the Maple Leafs don't come home with their tail between their legs. Last word to you.
Yeah, if you look at the standings right now and you look, Boston is on their tail. Montreal is a couple points behind. I mean, this is, they have an extended losing streak. They're battling for a wild card spot. That's how tight things are right now. I mean, Montreal's in a wild card spot. And Boston is in third place. I think they're a point behind, or they may even be tied after the win yesterday. So, I mean, that's the thing. You cannot fall asleep here. I have a feeling with games in between, with the days off in between these 4 games on the road, you're going to see Freddie Anderson for all 4.
Amazing stuff, Michael. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thanks, Norman.
We would like to thank Vanguard Northeast Realty in Scarborough, title sponsor of the Leafs Convo, demonstrating passion for the industry and a superior level of excellence in selling, leasing, and marketing your property. Vanguard Northeast Realty. That is a wrap for this episode. Thanks for being here. We're not going to be gone from you for too long. We have a Q&A podcast coming up Tuesday, February 12th. Hashtag Ask Mike on Twitter, at Norman James TLC, at Mike in Buffalo, at the Leafs Combo, or get at us with your questions inside the YouTube comments section. For Mike, I'm Norm. We out.